among us and they don't understand, nor do they realize what goes on when they see people stand up and tell about some transition or some change that occurred in their life. There's a lot of people that come among us and they hear people testify, and that seems very odd to them. For church, for them, usually it's just a preacher who stands and says a few words and they sing a few songs and they go home. But in a true church, you'll find the redeemed of the Lord saying so. They'll tell you about a time and a place where the Lord redeemed them, where the Lord saved them. They all have a conversion experience. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. Jesus was telling us in that particular passage of Scripture that without exception, everybody must be converted in order to go to heaven. You'll never go to heaven unless you get saved. Amen. You must be born again of the Spirit of God. And Jesus emphatically said that it is necessary for us to have a conversion. Now, if you look up the word conversion in Webster's dictionary, Webster tells us that it's a turning or a changing from one substance or state to another. In other words, Webster's goes a little further and says that it is a change from a state of sin to a state of holiness. There must be a change occur in your life, in your heart, from a state of sin to a state of holiness. Jesus said, without exception, every person, verily, verily, truly, truly, without exception, everybody must be converted. Amen. That's why Jesus came. That's why he hung on the cross, that people could be changed, that they could be delivered from sin, that they can know in their heart that they're on their way to heaven. Conversion is necessary. It is the core element of Christianity. Anytime a people try to declare or say that you don't need a conversion experience, they're obviously not Christian. Conversion is at the very core of Christianity. And I want to read these passages of Scripture to you where Jesus was speaking to us. I believe it is very clear. Without exception, you must have a conversion experience. Listen to the words of Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Jesus is saying to you this morning. Listen to what he's saying. He is singling you out. You might say, well, there's a lot of people here this morning. How can Jesus be singling us out or singling me out? I'll tell you how he can single you out: by the Holy Ghost. I mean, he will grab your attention. He will shake you real good on the inside. And he'll say, Mister, Jesus is speaking to you. Specifically, I know there are people that from time to time that come among us and they say, preacher, you're looking at me. Preacher, you were looking at me while you were preaching, or you were talking about me, or people have grabbed me on the as they were going out the building, and they would say, how did you know? God has a way of getting our attention. And sometimes he uses preachers to declare the things that he has said to grab our attention specifically and individually. And he's saying to somebody here this morning, you must have a conversion experience. Amen. Today we live in a society, a Christianity in an America philosophy where people think that they've always been Christian. There's no such thing. There's a transition. There's a change from a state of sin to a state of holiness that occurs in our hearts and in our lives in order for us to be Christian. I've talked to people and they said, well, my parents were Christian, so I must be a Christian. I must be a Christian. Or I was born in America, so I must be a Christian because all Americans are Christians. No, my friend, you're only a Christian when there's a transition or a change that occurs in your life from coming to the cross. Verily, verily, listen to what he says here in verse 3. You might say, well, wait a minute, these passages don't apply to me. I was reading the other day that W.C. Fields, when he was on his deathbed, somebody noted that he was reading his Bible. And somebody asked him, said, why are you reading his Bible? He said, I'm looking for loopholes. I tell you, there are no loopholes. Everybody who has ever born into this world needs to be converted. They need a change to occur deep inside of them, and without that change, you have no right to go to heaven. Jesus made it very clear in these passages. I mean, he didn't mix words. He made it clear enough where a child could understand. He made it clear in these passages. He told us that through a childlike faith, a person could obtain salvation and know they're on their way to heaven through a conversion experience. I'm amazed at people today that try to declare themselves to be Christians and yet deny the Christian conversion. It's happening all around us, isn't it? Listen, you need to be changed. Every one of us need to be changed. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted." Ye, of course, in the original, is having reference to everybody. Ye is, in the Old English, is having reference to you all of you. Ye means all of you. All of you need to be converted. That's what Jesus was saying. Without exception, unless everyone gets converted, they will not be privileged or have the opportunity to go to heaven. Notice what he says, except ye be converted and become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are converted. This is consistent with Scripture. Throughout Scripture, we're told that a person must be converted. Peter, look in the book of Acts for just a moment. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, and one of his grand messages when he was preaching, he said that the people needed to repent. He was preaching unto them Jesus, and he said, you need to repent. And he said, be converted. And he said, have your sins blotted out. That's what transpires when you're converted. Your sins are blotted out. Amen? Your sins are canceled through the blood of Jesus. So Peter, when he was preaching in the third chapter of Acts, verse 19, he declares that a person must repent and they need to be converted. And without conversion, they don't have their sins blotted out. The psalmist long ago, even the Old Testament, talked about having his salvation restored, that he might teach transgressors their ways in Psalms 51 and 13, that sinners might be converted. Look in the book of Corinthians. We notice there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul was talking about the great change. And he says this, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Paul was telling us that people must be converted. Jesus said this when he was talking to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. He said, this people's heart is waxed gross. He said, and their ears are dull of hearing. He said, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and they should hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and be converted. Now I realize that our conversion experiences may differ in many ways. God's Spirit works differently with men. We read in John chapter 3 and verse 8 that the wind bloweth where it listeth. Yeah. And perhaps no two conversion experiences are exactly the same. There are variations in means and modes and manifestations of the Spirit. I read of one of our late presidents who was telling about his conversion experience, James Garfield. And he told a man one time, he said, my entire life, the course of my life, was altered and changed by a pair of socks. The guy said, well, I don't believe that your whole course of your life was changed by a pair of socks. He said, well, it was. He said, I was planning one weekend to go out boating with some friends. He said, but that week prior, I got a cut on the bottom of my foot. And he said, I put on a pair of homemade socks that had a blue dye in it, and it poisoned me and infected my foot, and I couldn't go sailing that week. He said, and having nothing else to do, all my friends were gone. He said, and there was this
evangelist that came to our town that weekend. And somebody invited me to go to those revival meeting services. And he said, I didn't have anything else to do. I was hurting my foot because of those socks. And I went to those services and heard the preaching of the cross. And he said, my life was forever changed. See, our conversion experiences may differ. We all have different places, perhaps, or different things that occurred in the course of our situation or circumstances that brought about our conversions. But there are many things about them that are the same. First of all, I want us to note some of the similarities, some of the corresponding elements in a person's conversion. There must be a penitent, confessing sinner who is converted. When you come to the Lord, you must come as a sinner. First of all, every person who's ever converted, they come to the Lord as a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. We all come to the Lord lost and undone. Secondly, everyone that comes to the Lord and is truly converted, they come looking to Jesus. Jesus is the author and the finisher of the faith of every person who is ever converted. Amen. They come looking to the cross. My friend, when you are convicted of your sins and you feel your awfulness and you have need of eternal life and you know that you're far removed from God, there's only one way back to God, and that's through Jesus Christ and His crucified death there on the cross. There's no other way to God but through Jesus. Amen. Thirdly, every person who comes as a sinner looking to Jesus for forgiveness must experience a real change in their hearts. These are essential points of biblical conversion. I could spend some time, and I probably will just spend a few moments of time, talking about the core of Christianity, the Christian conversion, and prove these three points. Let me begin by saying that it's a radical change. That throughout the Scripture, this radical change is clearly defined for us. Not only did Jesus tell us that we must have one, but He tells us how it occurs in our hearts and in our lives. It's clearly defined throughout the Bible that there are two divided classes of people. There are the converted and there are the unconverted. There are the believers in Jesus and there are the unbelievers. Throughout the Scriptures, He talked about Jesus did in His ministry. He talked about lost sheep and He talked about sheep that were found. He told us about people that were invited to a great banquet. There were those that refused the request, and there were those that not only were invited, but came to the great feast of the table. He talked about wise virgins, and He talked about foolish virgins. He talked about those that were dead in trespasses and in sin, and those that had been made alive unto God. The Bible is full of information and clarifies for us this conversion experience. We understand that a person is dead in trespasses and in sin until they are quickened by the Holy Ghost. Amen? They're either lost or they're saved. And the middle thing, the thing that changes or alters or brings about the distinction and the difference from being lost and saved, converted and unconverted, is the Christian experience. Everyone must have one. The Bible talks about us being in darkness and then being found in this marvelous light. Amen? Those of us outside of the kingdom and then we're transformed into the kingdom of His dear Son. This transition, you have to reckon with all these scriptures throughout the Bible that talk about a person being converted. Everyone, listen to me, must have one. If I should go around to each person, and should we have the time this morning, and I single each one of you out, and I ask you, tell me your Christian experience. There would be those among us this morning that have them, those among us this morning that do not. There are those among us this morning that can tell that we have been changed. We can tell you about this occurrence in our life where we were born again to the Spirit of God. Jesus said in the 3rd chapter of John, He said, a man must be born again. What was Jesus talking about? He was talking about the spiritual conversion that takes place in our hearts and in our souls. The change. I know a lot of people try to say, well, this change is just a change in our character. Oh, no, it's a change in feeling. Yeah, I tell you, the transition that occurs when you once were lost and now you're found is a reality, a change in condition where that you once were under condemnation and now there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That transition, that change that occurs in our hearts is a real thing in the Christian movement. It's a real thing in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a real thing in the life of the believer. And we love sharing about it, amen? Because everybody that's ever been saved has one. Do you hear me this morning? Everyone who is going to heaven has a conversion experience that they can share with others. The Bible says that whosoever is born of God, I told you that in the 3rd chapter of John, Jesus said to Nicodemus that a man must be born again. And you go a little further in the 3rd chapter of John in verse 16, He tells us how this comes about. It comes about by faith. By faith. We're saved by grace through faith and that not of ourselves. He told us in the 16th verse that whosoever believeth on the Son would not perish but have everlasting life. One of the things that's joined to the Christian experience is the fact that a person must believe with all of their heart. You can't be saved unless you trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and through that trust and reliance upon the Son of God and what He did at Calvary, there's a change that occurs within us. If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. John, in the book of John, 1 John, he talked about, I think it's in chapter 5, he said, anybody that's born of God has believed that you have exercised faith. He told us in those passages, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. There's a connection between the new birth and faith. They go together, don't they? They go together. Now, if you tell me you had a Christian experience and you didn't exercise faith and there was no repentance involved, if there was no mourning over sin, if you weren't conscious of the fact that you were a sinner, I don't think you really know about the Christian experience. Actually, you know nothing about the Christian experience unless those things exist within your testimony. Putting faith in Jesus. Amen? John went a little further and he told us that that through this faith we overcome the world. So there's a joining, there's a connection to this radical change that takes place inside of us and us putting our faith in the Lord. There is some responsibility on your part, my friend. There comes a time in your life where you need to step out of the aisle. There comes a time in your life when you need to kneel down before the Lord. There comes a time in your life when you need to have that childlike faith. There comes a time in your life where you need a change that comes from on high. Over and over and over and over and over again, throughout the Scriptures, it is declared to us that a man must have a conversion. Without it, you cannot go to heaven. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Listen, regeneration is the very prodigy of divine strength and power. Bible says we're not saved by works of righteousness which we have done in the book of Titus, but we are saved by the washing of regeneration. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's how we're saved. That's how we're saved. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. How are we delivered from the power of darkness? I'll tell you how we're delivered from the power of darkness in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. We are delivered by a transformation, a translated work that occurs in our soul from the kingdoms of the devil to the kingdom of his dear son. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus was declaring in the 5th chapter of John, verse 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, amen, and shall not come into condemnation, but something happened to him. What happened to him, Jesus? They passed from death unto life. I mean, this thing is described and explained as a resurrection, as being brought back from the dead. It's talked about being translated and transformed in the kingdom. It's talked about as being a new creation. How can a person experience that and not know about it? Are you telling me a person can't know when that happens? There's no way. There's no way. When you pass from death unto life, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, where they were quickened, where they were made alive. They were once dead in trespasses and in sin, and they were quickened and made alive. You can't tell me that occurs and people don't know about it. That's why people jump up at this church and they tell about their Christian conversion. Because it's real, amen? They know about it. They've experienced it for themselves. It's a reality to them. Paul, on the road to Damascus, had a Christian experience. Peter talked about it in Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. He talked about us being begotten again. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. Begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of the dead. James said the same thing. 1 chapter of James verse 18. He says, of his own will begat he us. Begat he us. So, the conversion that Jesus was talking about, according to the fullness of Scripture, is more than just a change in our character. It's a change in our position. It's a change in our feeling. Where we once were under condemnation, we felt that. Amen? When you're convicted of your sins, you feel the condemnation of the gospel. You feel that. It's a change in our feeling from once being condemned to a place to where we're not under condemnation. Paul talked about the people at Colossians. He said, you know, you people at one time, you were aliens. Aliens. He said, not only aliens, he said in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, he said, you were enemies of God. He said, there was a time when you were dead. He said, there was a time in your mind that you were following the wickedness of the world. But there was a change. He said, you have been reconciled. Reconciled in the body of his flesh through his death. And you are now presently holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. I tell you, there's a change that must occur in your life. A change from being an enemy to being a friend of God. To being a child, from being a child of the devil to being a child of God. That's conversion. The scriptures are very plain and clear about the conversion experience. First of all, we noted that everybody must have one. That everybody that has one comes as a sinner looking to the cross. Everyone that has one has something that happens deep inside of them where the Holy Spirit comes into them. They pass from death into life. They are born from above. The well of water springs up in their soul and to everlasting life. It's a real change where they become a new creation in Christ Jesus. In the covenant of grace, throughout Scripture, it talks about this transition being an operation of the heart. Faith is, Paul said that in Colossians, faith is an operation of the heart. When you really believe in Jesus to the saving of your soul, there'll be a change to occur in your heart. The the stony heart be removed and the heart of flesh be placed in. If you don't have that, you're not on your way to heaven. I don't care how many good works you've done. I don't care how many churches you join. We have people here, they've joined just about every denomination you can imagine until they came here and heard that they need to be born again. Amen? We've heard them testify. I mean, they've had their names on just about every church in Hendersonville. But nobody told them that they must be converted. Nobody told them they must be born again. And they repented of their sins and they put faith in Jesus Christ and they experienced for themselves the new birth. You may be one of them this morning. You're going around different places searching for the truth. I tell you, we've got it here. We believe this Bible to be true. The Bible says you have to be saved. The Bible says you have to be converted. Jesus said without exception, you must be converted. Without that, you cannot see nor enter the kingdom of heaven. You must have that in your heart and life. Listen, I don't care if you are another denomination. I don't care if you are joining up with other institutions or whatever. But listen, you've got to be born again. All right? You can't get to heaven without it. The Bible is clear about this. You must be converted through a childlike faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't have that this morning, you need to get that. Time's running out. And whether you come to this altar this morning or not, let me implore you. You find you an altar somewhere. You fall on your face before God and you ask the Lord if these things that I've spoken to you this morning are true. And God will come on the scene and He'll show you that you need a Christian experience, that you must be converted. And at that time, at that place, wherever it might be, in your car, in your bedroom, wherever, at work, in the bathroom, wherever it might be, humble yourself in the sight of God and receive that comes through Jesus Christ, a change deep down in your soul, which is the core of Christianity. It must be in you. It must be in you. Or you are none of His. Many shall say on that day, have not we prophesied in thy name? And in thy name haven't we cast out devils? And in thy name haven't we done many wonderful works? In the 7th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, He would declare to them sadly, Depart from me, ye works of iniquity. I never knew you. There's more to it than you just knowing about the Lord. The Lord must know you.
Amen.
And you come to know the Lord through being converted.
Amen.
Yes. The change. The change. The change that happens inside of us. Oh, how real it is. How real it is. Let's never depart from this basic, simple, clear truth of Scripture. Everyone must have the change.
Amen.
That profound contrast in our hearts and our lives. I mean, when you're just forever changed. Whatever it takes. For some of you this morning, I'm praying that God will put some poison socks on you. You know, whatever it takes. Huh? Amen? Our prayers cannot change your will, but they can change your circumstances. God can orchestrate some stuff in your life. Amen? And that's actually what we're praying for as saints concerning sinners. We can't get God to alter their will. He won't violate your will. He won't drag you to the altar. But I tell you what, He can alter some circumstances in your life, or He can bring you close to the cross. We're going to sing a verse of some song. Except ye be converted. You got to be converted. You must be born again. As we stand and sing a verse of some song, maybe somebody here this morning that wishes to pray, This only comes to us by faith. It's always described in Scripture as a profound contrast from being in darkness and then being in the light. Profound contrast. Dead, alive. Following the devil, following Christ. Unbeliever, believer. Unconverted, converted. Everyone, without exception, must be converted. As we stand and sing, if you're an unconverted soul today, come to the cross. Let us sing.